The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Once again, you're watching HealthSense, supported by Gleneagles Hospital. Next, we have Dr. Kwek Swee Chong, obstetrician and gynecologist from Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore.
HPV, or human papilloma virus, is one of, if not the most common, sexually transmitted infection. Can you tell us a little bit more about HPV? How would a woman know if she's contracted HPV?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconception about HPV. You read everywhere that the human papillomavirus, HPV, is the most common sexually transmitted infection.
Right.
And I think that actually has done our cause a misservice, because while, yes, the virus is transmitted by sexual contact, it should not be considered in the same school as, say, chlamydia or gonorrhea or HIV. And that's the problem. A lot of people sort of think, oh, HPV, therefore there must be something that I did wrong. Or
yes,
I've been dirty, or I've been, you know, my partner's been unfaithful. And all these questions come up. The truth of the matter is, the HPV infection is so common that you'd be surprised if I told you that 8 out of 10 men and women would have had contact with HPV in their lifetime.
Wow.
That's 80%. So, you know, if you say that HPV, as we know, is the cause for many cancers, and if HPV causes this many cancers, then most of us would have HPV-related cancers. The fact of the matter is that most HPV infections are transient. They will go away after a couple of months, our body's immune system gets rid of it. It's only a very small proportion when the virus is extremely potent or one of the types that can cause cancer. It stays in the body and it starts to cause the cells to change. That's really where the issue is. So both men and women get HPV.
And what are the symptoms?
Unfortunately, in a very small proportion of people who have HPV who that cause warts. Now, HPV can be divided into two big families: the 14 or so types that cause cancer, and then a series of others that cause other things like external genital warts and things that you can see. Even the warts you get on your hands and your toes and finger and feet are also caused by HPV, but those will never cause cancer. Rarely, if you see a wart or you see something externally, yeah, you know that there may be HPV, but those do not cause cancer.
Right.
The ones that cause cancer are completely asymptomatic, so no itch, no pain, nothing at all. So we've got to sort of find other ways of detecting it.
We are talking to Dr. Kwek Swee Chong, obstetrician and gynecologist at Gleneagles Hospital. When we come back, we ask the doctor, what can we do to reduce the risk of HPV?
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.
1FM 91.3, it's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Once again, welcome to HealthSense. We have in the studio Dr. Kwek Swee Chong, obstetrician and gynecologist at Gleneagles Hospital.
So as men, what should we do to reduce the risk of developing and passing HPV on?
It's a difficult question, because you see, it takes two to tango, right?
Right.
So, you know, sort of, I often get women patients who come to me and say, you know, I got this HPV, I'm going to call my lawyer, or, you know, that awful guy. But actually, he must have got it from somewhere. Yeah?
Yeah.
And in fact, men get HPV more easily than women get HPV. So men receive more than they give in reality.
Right.
So when we look at data regarding HPV, we find that a lot of men, even in their 30s, 40s and 50s, actually have a level of HPV infection much, much more than women. It's just that in the cervix, where the problem occurs mostly, the skin is a little bit more fragile, so the HPV has a chance of actually starting to cause problems. Yeah. So in terms of what can men do, there is a vaccine that is available that is licensed for men, and that will certainly reduce not all, but the large majority of the viruses, the HPV viruses that can cause cancer.
Interesting.
Are there any tests for men and women with regard to finding out if one has HPV? Because I think for many people who go down for their annual checkups, sometimes they get the option to go for an HIV test, for example.
Yes.
And I think more and more people are going for HIV tests.
Yes.
Will the HIV test be able to detect the HPV virus?
Unfortunately not. The HPV infection generally doesn't get into the bloodstream. It's a local infection, so it stays on the penis or on the anus or on the cervix or in the vagina, but doing a blood test will not detect it. So the only way is to actually take a sample of cells, like we do in a pap smear, send it to the lab for testing, and that is then detected to look for HPV. So for women, yes, we can test for HPV, but there's no commercially available test for men, unless, well, there is, but it's not commercially available and it's extremely painful. So as guys, we would definitely stay away from it. It requires a bit of sandpaper. You can imagine the rest.
Okay, not the happiest thing in the world.
Thank you so much, Dr. Quek. You are on Health Sense right here on 1FM 91.3 with Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. When we come back, we'll find out what increases the risk of cervical cancer. Ladies, stay tuned.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.
Welcome back to Health Sense, supported by Glen Eagles Hospital. We have Dr. Quek Swee Chong, obstetrician and gynecologist from Glen Eagles Hospital, with us this morning.
Does long-term use of contraceptives like IUDs increase the risk of developing cervical cancer?
Well, the data shows that IUDs, the intrauterine device, does not increase the risk of cervical cancer. There is some conflicting evidence to show that if you're on the contraceptive pill for a long period of time, then statistically there's a slightly higher risk of having cervical cancer, although I'm not entirely sure that it's the fault of the pill. The fact of the matter is that women who are sexually active generally take the pill.
Yeah.
So if you were not sexually active, you wouldn't take the pill. So there may be a sort of confounding factor there, the fact that these are a pre-selected group of people who are more sexually active, because as you know, it's sexual activity that actually is the cause initially.
So then how do women reduce the risk of getting cervical cancer?
For a long time, we've used the pap smear.
Yeah.
Some regular screening from the age of 25, and we usually stop at about late 60s or 70s. That has recently been replaced in Singapore by the HPV test.
Mm.
So we now actually do the HPV test rather than the pap smear as the first cut, because that's a much more predictive test than the pap smear, which can be sometimes, you know, wrong, or it can miss disease, whereas the HPV is much more accurate. Mm. So screening, regular screening at regular intervals, that's the most important thing. But in my mind, in the last 10, 15 years, we've had one of the most revolutionary preventive strategies that has come out, and that is the introduction of the HPV vaccines. So I told you there are 14 types of HPV, but there's no vaccine that can prevent all 14. This new vaccine that's come out can prevent 7 of the 14 high-risk types, but these 7 cause, in this part of the world, 95% of cervical cancer. So technically, a vaccine has the ability potentially to prevent 95% of cervical cancers.
Dr. Quek, thank you so much for spending time with us. I'm sure a lot of women are now put at ease when it comes to some of the tests that need
Hopefully.
To have been done. Thank you so much,
thank
Dr.
you very
Quek.
Much.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Good times. Greatest hits. 1FM 91.3.